May be seated. Let's move in our continuum. Take out your document. Everyone repeat after me. Actualization is greater than manifestation. Now we have been ministering from this document scripture distinctions of actualization in eternity for manifestation in time for several years now. I think this is probably going into year 5. And my prayer is that those who are set under the voice of this ministry and these messages will internalize this truth to the end that you will separate actualization from manifestation. Actualization is what God has done, what God has previously accomplished. When did he accomplish it? In eternity. Manifestation, all the stuff you put up with on a daily basis. But I want you to know that it's all organized.
Oh yeah.
Sometimes we look at things and we think that things are going haywire, chaotic. But nothing manifests except that which is decreed. And my prayer is that as we go through and as we've gone through, some have come to realize that things are not of themselves, are in themselves, are not purpose of themselves. Whatever it is you see is not always what it is. We hope to demonstrate that this morning.
Amen.
We're in the final part of this volume 1. Everybody turn to page 120. And repeat after me. Temporal and eternal things compared.
Temporal and eternal things compared.
Temporal. Temporality. What does temper mean?
Not long.
The essence of time is that it is there for testimonial purposes. Testimonial purposes. Testimonial purposes only. God doesn't have to prove anything to himself. He says it, and it exists. It's there. Manifestation is for testimony purpose to his creation, which we are God's creation. We are part of God's creation. Wanted to take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. What we want to focus on this morning in comparing the eternal with the temporary is that the more value we put on eternality, the less value we put on temporality. The more value we put on eternity, the less value we put on time. The more value we put on spirituality, the less value we put on physicality. And so life is beyond the radar of those things that bombard us from day to day. That's not where your life. Your life is Christ. Christ. Everybody say Christ is my life.
Christ.
I was listening to the radio and I was listening to a program and someone posed a very, I think, valid question. You know what the question is? If God, that is, if Jesus satisfies, as God's people say that he does, then why are so many of God's people dissatisfied? Why are we unhappy? Why are we discontent? Why are we frustrated for long? Why are we confused? Well, when you look it up on the matrix, that's what you get. Confusion. Because depending upon the angle that you're looking at something actually dictates what you comprehend or what you think you comprehend.
Right.
And we're unhappy because we're looking up on the matrix and we think that is life.
That's it. Mm-hmm.
As we were dealing last week, we went into some portions of the Old Testament. We could see from the lingual and the language of how things are depicted that they're all conveyed from the horizontal plane.
Amen.
Yeah. You know, Israel, through the desert, they had a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, and each morning manna came down from, you know. And somebody said, "We want to be fed for manna. No, give me food."
Yeah.
When Paul said, according to those Corinthians, he said, I would have loved to have fed you meat. But I had to give you milk. Because you're calling some of your even children.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem. It's our diet. Because that manna was only good for a day's journey. I don't know if we sing the songs in them. I have no problem if you sing that here. Find it. One day at a time, Lord. You know, hey, oh my God. This meat, this food, it's devised to take your whole journey. And beyond.
Yes.
Beyond the scope of the day by day,
right.
Moment by moment, hour by hour encounters.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm. We are living in the world, mm-hmm. but we're not of the world.
We are not.
We don't walk by the same rule and the same. I don't mean we're not citizens. We don't. What we're saying is that. But what? What moves them and what regulates them in thought, in appreciation, in anticipation is different from what motivates and moves the enlightened.
Amen. Amen.
This is why there's nothing more important than for you to open up your contract. Everybody say the grace covenant.
The grace
covenant. The mystery message. These epistles that are written to the church by the Apostle Paul, which conveys the essence of the eternal view.
Right, right.
It is the eternal view, not the things that are around us, turning on the news and wondering who's in office and what they're going to do. I tell you right now, they don't control anything.
No.
They don't control anything.
No.
Who's in control?
God.
I don't know, that man talking about messing with our pensions. But oh, they're bragging, saying, you know what? If it's decreed,
mm-hmm.
that's why it happens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If it's not decreed, it can happen. So, our God is what's in our contract, and the essence of life, which is above the things that are around us. So we're looking down on life, not around in life. All right. Here we have a case of, as we look into the context this morning, and oh, the clock always beat me up in the Amen. Hallelujah. But just setting the course context here. Amen. In the previous verse, Paul speaks of one who was caught up. You know the story. He goes in to Antioch, and they ran him out of Antioch because they didn't like what he was preaching. And chased him down into Iconium. And then the ones who were in Antioch, they weren't satisfied that he had left their little city. They didn't want him preaching this anywhere. They followed him down into Iconium, and they stopped those that were there, and they chased him out of Iconium. Down into Lystra. Then when he gets down into Lystra, they said, let's see if we can compromise him. So they tried to appeal to his ego. So, Paul, what you're saying is great. Now these are the same people who, you know, to the end that these words are almost the words of a God. And Paul went berserk. You know the old expression of indignation. And ripped his clothes off and he said, no, that was protest. I'm just a man. After they couldn't compromise him, they stoned him. And left him for dead. And here he gives brief glimpse in verse 3, actually verse 2, which I don't have time this morning, but he said, I knew a man more than 14 years ago. He's speaking of himself. He's giving a testimony. I said, whether I was in the flesh, when it happened, or out of the flesh, whether God took me out of the body or in the body, he said, I don't know. If I was in the body, I didn't know it. If I was out of the body, I didn't care. But he called me up into here. They used the expression, they call it paradise in the King James, and I don't have time to deal with that. The Greek word is parathesin. Basically, not speaking of a physical place. And I'll reserve the right to come back and deal with that another time. But he said, now, I was exposed to things that I can't even tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the King James says unlawful, and the Greek word nomos, which is law, is not in there.
No.
What he was saying is that these things are these words Arinta. That is, there's no human language that I could express to the end to convey to you what I saw. I think I know what I saw, but the words are not there to convey it. And this is the experience that this man had had.
Amen.
And so, in verse 7, as we follow the course of what is going on, I want you to think around in your life as whatever's going on and whatever has gone on, and see purpose rather than perception of occurrence. I see that the purpose is dominating the occurrence. That is God's purpose. You know, you have your time-space parameter, and that's all we look at, time-space parameter, and we think everything is wrapped and tied in that. And the first medium of dimension is Platos, which is literally translated extent. They call it breath in the King James. But it is extent, a purpose. And so that is the dimension, a medium which is spiritual, that dominates and determines what is going on in the physical aspect of height, width, and depth, and time. And so here Paul gives, through the revelation that God gave to him, what was going on in his life. Many times things happen, and I remember coming up as a little boy, it used to kind of frighten me. Somebody get in trouble, and they say, oh, he must have done something wrong. Do you know how unsettling that is? Because on any given day, at any given time, each of us is doing something wrong. So, not me. No, you're not. And so as we look at life, and we take our instructions and our directives, as we take our directions, as we glean information, it must be from the right document,
right.
The grace covenant.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Go back in the Old Testament, it looked like they did something and then God was upset with them, so he retaliated. But that's written from what the knowledge base of that covenant is. You don't go back there. It's like going back into earlier centuries around the turn of the last millennium when the plague was going through and they didn't know that it was the fleas that the rats were carrying that were biting people and causing the plague. And they turned to the church. And so naturally they went back into the Old Testament. And what did they come up with? If you obey me, I do what? I bless you. If you disobey me, what? I curse you. If you be good, I'll be good to you. If you be bad, well, you know the results of that. And they said there was sin in the land, and God was fed up with it, and judgment had come upon the earth because there was so much evil. You know, you go back into Genesis, and it deals with the antediluvian age. You know, it deals with the essence of the giants walking through the land, and so forth and so on and so on. That's written and couched in the language of that covenant at that time. This is why you go back into Genesis and it raises more questions than it answers. Unless you can go and you can take what's in our gospel, this glorious information that deals with eternality in Ephesians, and you go into Colossians, and oh my God, and you get all of these glorious truths. And now you're ready to go back in the 12th century or the 11th century, whenever it was, and not be caught up. You know, I could imagine as a minister back in those days, if that's all I knew, I could have easily gotten caught up in that. You know? So it is the essence of what is in our contract. Here's one of the ingressions that we should take. All right, Elder. Read Second Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Everybody say amen.
Amen. Second Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, King James Version.
Yeah, I want you to is we're gonna read. Here's how we're gonna read, and I'm gonna try not to comment. Just remember, King James is a translation, as many of the other translations, a very good translation in some aspects, but all the translations are warning and lacking in some respects. And because of that, we go also to the Greek interlineal, but even that, we don't stop. We go into exegesis. All right? So now we're going to deal with some how and why this morning. Why am I having trouble? Why am I sick? Why am I in ministries? Because they're not reading from the right place. There are ministries that are geared supposedly to solving your everyday problems. Well, the grace gospel doesn't solve the problem. The grace covenant transcends the problem. So it more than solves it. It dissolves it. Pastor, you're crazy. No. Just follow here.
That's right.
All right, read 7 through 10, and then let's go to the Greek. Probably that's all the fun we're going to get this morning.
2 Corinthians 12 and verse 7, King James Version. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me. Lest I should be exalted above measure.
All right.
For this thing I besought the Lord thrice. And it might...
That it might depart
from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities.
This man's crazy.
In reproaches, in necessities.
Insanity.
Insane. In persecutions. In distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.
When I'm weak, then I am strong. Now let's go to the Greek. And understand here, he is given an explanation. He's given the answer to why. Lord, why am I having this problem? He told me if I went to church, if I paid my tithe, what some of the ministries have put out there, debt-free, trouble-free, worry-free. No problems. Health, wealth, and happiness. Paul was the antithesis of all three of that.
Yeah.
I hear the man who was sick. one who is given the message for a dispensation. But is also sick. You know the healing ministries that are out there. God, people are not supposed to be sick. That's why they don't mess with Paul. Read it, verse 7.
Verse 7, Greek and Millennial.
Mm-hmm.
And by the excess of the revelations.
All right, stop. Stop. As we exegete here, this reads kati epivoli tongue apokalisian. Pastor, why did? Because that's not the way the King James starts out talking about this thing. It started talking about why he was, says that he was exalted. But the first thing we must understand is the essence of what God had given him.
Right, right, yes.
That's translated, and first what we call a superordinate conjunction. What is the superordinate conjunction? It dominates. So whatever I've said in the past and whatever has come upon me, listen as to what is driving this thing. Here we have the term epivoli tong apokalisian. The above measure exceeding revelation. Paul is saying, this is the issue. The issue is the revelation that God had given me. What did he give Paul? If you are to believe the account, no generation before him had this information. Now, why is that there first? To let you know that whatever comes with it can't compare with the gloriousness of having received it.
All right.
In other words, whatever's concomitant to it or whatever accomplishes it cannot deny the glorious blessing of having received the mystery message. What is more important about you this morning? You are some position in the body of Christ. You're in the body of Christ right now. Right now, you're in the body of Christ. Right now. You're an heir of God, and you're a joint heir of that which belongs to Christ.
Amen.
Right now. Now, whatever is concurrent to accomplish that cannot wipe out the joy and the blessing of who you are in Christ. You are all who you are in Christ, and you are in these bodies. All right, read.
Thank you.
Wherefore, lest I should be exceedingly uplifted, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, in order he might buffet.
Okay, now, basically, so I don't get all, amen, what when it comes to our depravity, everybody in here, your depravity will lead you into being arrogant.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Uplifted. And so, what he is saying is, my affliction is for the revelation's sake. Oh my God.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Somebody would say, well, if I got to go through all this, you can keep that revelation. No.
Come on.
Oh, God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Why can't he give that to me and don't put all that other stuff on me? Why didn't he give Paul carte blanche? I mean, here is a man who was a dispensationist given to him. And in human thinking, if he gave him the best of health and all money and the provisions to, that is how we think, could have done a better job. The thing that we don't understand is the depravity doesn't work that way.
Hallelujah.
The depravity does not seek to give God glory.
Come on. Hallelujah.
The depravity seeks to get the glory.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Notice here you have the verb there, and oh my God, what is time? Y'all give me a couple of hours, I can just. We have the verb. Ethopthy. It's translate give one, but it is in the aorist tense. That which Paul had in his flesh in the aorist tense, when was that place there? In the actualized state, follow me now. In eternity, when the revelation was given, actualization wise. Also, what? The infirmity was given with it. Now, the manifestations came in sequence.
Come on, Pastor. Come on.
He first, in manifestation, Paul received the revelation, but here he's saying, also in sequence manifestation, a little later he gave me the infirmity. Lord, what does the word Lord mean? It means boss. Does God own you? Does he have a right to course your life?
Yes.
Did he do Paul wrong here?
No.
I mean, when I say, hey, I can spread this thing all over, you know, just give me, you know, and a lot of times if you don't not careful in ministry, if you got so much truth, then how much money you got and how many members you got and how many, you know. God has never worked in a majority.
Never.
And if he runs across somebody like Paul, that God is going on, he takes it away from him.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Because the ultimate meaning of all things is what?
His glory.
God's glory.
Uh-huh.
Your life and my life is supposed to be about God's glory.
Amen.
Oh, we think we have our own agendas.
Yes.
And we think it's about us.
Amen.
But it's not about us. It's about him. And so this is why the problem was there. And now Paul, not understanding this, in verse 8, read it. This is what Paul had done. Because he thought the same way the depravity would think. Why am I doing sick? I can't be sick. I got this job to do. I can't do this job while I'm sick. Read.
As to this thrice the Lord I besought,
mm-hmm,
in order that it might depart from me.
So I went to the Lord three times, asked him to move this thing. Now notice this. That verb there apostate translated depart. You know what that is? It is a subjunctive aorist. So what is Paul really saying? To the Spirit, you have a subjunctive aorist there. What's the subjunctive mood? It's a probability. What is the aorist tense? Completed action. You have a completed probability, may have, or may depart, or may the leave, or having left, or having departed. Paul wanted that thing to be done, along with. In manifestation, we must understand that everything touching our lives followed the decree. When we pray, don't you ever close that prayer except what? Your will is done. Because whatever is to manifest must follow the decree. So what if I have done this, done that, and we have this idea of synergism, which basically we take down into life, that we participate into how things turn out. Not in a determinative sense. Everything's prearranged. So here he was asking for something that was not decreed. I'm going very slow this morning. Because somebody is a very unhappy camper this morning because there's something you want and it's not coming down that way, and you think that until it does, you're not going to be straight, you're not going to be fit, you're not going to be functional, you're not going to be able to, you know, Lord, you got to get rid of this because it's helping me. And this was Paul was saying. I mean, he went to the Lord three times. But according to the usage of the verb there, subjunctive aorist, in context, it's obvious that he was praying for something that wasn't going to happen. It could happen because of the reason that it was put there in the first place.
All right, now.
But see, Paul didn't know that at that time. Let's go to verse 9. I said, boy, Pastor, this is like a Bible study. Then we're in Bible study.
Verse 9.
So things will stop beating you up out there.
Come on. Amen.
Making you miserable.
Amen.
Here you are. Heir of God. Mm-hmm. Job that was blown to Christ. And you're miserable. You know, like the question that we posed at the beginning, that somebody wrote into the radio program, is if Jesus satisfies, why so many of God's people dissatisfied? You say you got Jesus. If he's satisfied and you have Jesus, then why are you dissatisfied with Jesus? I'm not dissatisfied with him. It's all his other stuff in his example. In other words, it's Jesus plus. Some of y'all look at me like I'm crazy. I'm, hey, I know I'm in the Word this morning. So what did he tell Paul? Verse 9. Elder.
And this he said to me, suffices thee the grace of...
No, start back. Verse 9.
Verse 9. And he said to me...
Right?
Suffices thee the grace of me...
Stop. This verse starts off with a superordinate conjunction. Again, what is a superordinate conjunction? It overrules, and what it's getting ready to say overrules what would go against it. What would go against it is that here's an affliction that won't go away.
Mm-hmm. Come on here. Hallelujah.
This thing is bugging me. This thing is making me miserable.
Mm-hmm.
And I prayed the Lord three times. It is just about to drive you crazy and making you almost immobile.
Mm-hmm.
Non-functional. Because it just won't go away. Follow what's happening here. We have the verb. Irritating. Brother Deacon, do you have your Zwin that say it? Actually, in the King James it says said, which I can deal with that. And here in the interlinear it is saying. What's the tense of that verb?
Perfect indicative.
What is the perfect tense?
Completion,
action, and what? Ongoing effects. And what he said, he has said, and he is saying.
That's right.
He has said, and he is saying. And this morning the Lord has said to you, in the essence of who you are, and he is saying to you, what? Read.
For the power of weakness is perfected.
What, after the saying, what did he say? Suffices what?
Suffices the the grace of me.
My grace is sufficient. He has said and is saying, my grace is sufficient. Now, God is talking to us.
Yes, yes.
What is going on in your life? His grace is sufficient.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Jesus. Now, he may move that thing, but he may not.
Jesus.
And this is what we have to focus on.
Amen. Amen. Thank God. Amen.
My grace is sufficient for you. Then he goes on and he says, what? We say, Lord, answer my prayer. Lord, he is answering Paul's prayer. No, he's not moving the situation, but he's giving him knowledge. Oh my God!
Thank God! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Let me give you an illustration. I was watching the program last night. This reporter had gone into this camp to do a story on healing and the people that come to those type ministries for healing.
Mm-hmm.
And you know of all of the many hopes that are dashed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people still get in prayer lines in some ministries every week for the same ailment,
mm-hmm.
because it hasn't dawned upon them yet that God's grace is sufficient and he's not going to move that. Whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're going to go through life with that big toe not healed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to be... Listen. Whatever that thing is out there and is bugging you and so forth, it's on you. Here you asking God to move the mountain. And his plan is to use the mountain. You ask him, God, to move that which he's going to use.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if God's going to use it, do you think he's going to move it? And then use
Hallelujah.
That was one man that had come to the crusade. And he wanted to walk really bad. And so she, during the whole crusade, she was going back and forth, putting the spotlight on him. And the Lord told him that in the last night, the last 10 minutes of the last night, he was going to heal him and he was going to walk. And so she had gotten so intimately involved with this man's story until she became emotional.
Mm-hmm.
And she began to hope or pray or whatever that this man walked, because she just didn't know how he was going to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Lord told him, this was his words, that in the last 10 minutes of the last night of the crusade,
mm-hmm.
he was going to bless him. So last night of the crusade, just heal him. Came down, you know how you touch everybody and they're falling out, slain in the spirit and so forth. So, and the first time somebody came here and asked me a prayer line, I said, not here.
Mm-hmm.
We get through preaching, we go home. Now, if you want me to pray for you after service, you know, and I won't be using no oil.
Mm-hmm.
But the Lord had told this man, he was going to be healed according to him.
Yeah.
And so the last night, here comes this healer down, and you know, everybody's falling down. And you know, each one of them have their little thing they do. You know, some of them blowing you. This guy's thing was bam, 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 bam. People were falling out in the floor. So he got to this man, and he went bam, 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 bam. And I mean, he hammered a while. So then he moved on. Then the men came behind him after the cameras were gone to see would the guy be able to get up and walk. And they pushed him up, and didn't happen. So he wheeled himself out into the corridor, and he was just there. And she felt, this is the reporter, felt so sorry for him. She felt like crying. And she went to him, and he looked at her and said, oh, you look like you need prayer. He laid hands on her, and this is the infirm man, and prayed for her. And she said, what happened? She said, oh, I got something greater. What is that? He said, life is but a blip of eternity.
Good God.
And what happens here?
Good God.
Is not that important.
Jesus.
In relationship to the glorified body I should be in.
Hallelujah.
In eternity.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
God did move the infirmity, but the message that he gave to him delivered him. He was delivered.
Yes.
It's in the mind.
Yes. Yes. Hallelujah.
It's in the mind. Most of the things that we go through, it's in the mind. Mm-hmm. Is God's grace sufficient? Then what else did he say, Elton? We'll run over a little, just a little over this morning. What else did he say?
For the power in weakness is perfected.
Mm-hmm.
Most gladly, therefore, rather I will boast in the weak in my weaknesses.
Mm-hmm. Why?
In order that
mm-hmm.
might overshadow.
Oh my God!
Over me.
Well, stop. That is the Greek word episkonos. What is that, Brother Deacon? Rest. Everybody say rest. That's what we want. We want rest. We want release. That is an aorist subjunctive present. What is the subjunctive mood? Probability. What is the aorist tense? Complete motion. Passive voice.
It's not to you.
Yep.
God is your answer.
God's controlling this thing. In the incident I just told you about, God gave this person release. Rest.
Sure did.
That's what we need. We need rest. But we're looking at for rest in the physical sense, through the physical means. We won't get through this today. Let's go to page 120 here. Oh my God. The second paragraph. What it says, 2 Corinthians, what we just read. Everybody got that, amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10 states, quoting, wherefore, by the exceeding greatness of the revelation. It is because of the exceeding greatness of the revelation. Thereof and all of, so thereof, it was about the revelation.
Mm-hmm.
In all of that, having received this revelation, I might be puffed up with pride. A thorn in the flesh was given to me. A messenger of Satan. That I might not be puffed up with pride.
Yes.
Yes. To completely put at rest the workings of depravity. In his burden, Paul's focus was on God's purpose. Everybody say God's purpose.
God's purpose.
We think our lives are about our agenda. What I want to do. Where I want to go. No, it's not. No, it's not. It was on God's purpose in the matter more than how the issue impacted him personally. This is the revelation that God gave him. In addition to the revelation of the mystery gave him answer to God's purpose. Now, this does not mean that God is going to always give you the answer.
Amen.
Some things are eternity purpose, and you don't get that information in time.
All right.
But we walk by what?
Faith.
Not by sight. So, Lord, why did this happen to me? As though God is giving you a bad deal or something. And this is the message that is coming down here. You see, Paul had received the revelation of the mystery. As a result, God revealed his testimony intention to him in his process of vetoing his humanly depraved inclination to be filled up in pride. So Paul's comprehension of this instilled him with both this ability to endure suffering in praise of God's glory.
Right.
Conceptually, there are two kinds of respite, physical and spiritual. We're going to end here today. Human resonance to physical rest. This is what everybody. Yeah, I want my bills paid. I want my. Yeah, I won't release. So we think that that's, you know. Then why are the rich people's burden? Why are rich people that have their health burden? You read about them every day, right? So physical rest is temporary. Everybody said physical rest is temporary.
Physical rest is temporary. Mm-hmm.
Human reference to physical rest is known to all mankind. Mm-hmm. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. Give me about 5 minutes, 6 or 7 minutes. Old Testament documentation of such exhibits the night and sets one day each week for this purpose. You know, in the Ten Commandments, Sabbath, rest, physical. New Testament documentation continues this theme as Christ spoke of rest. You know, in Matthew 26:45, and Mark 14:41, he told the disciples, sleep all night and take your rest. Remember that in the Garden of Gethsemane, right?
Amen.
And also, come you yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while, from Mark 6:31. Remember that? Mm-hmm. So, but Jesus even had to rest.
Sure.
The Greek verb anapavo, rendered rest, is variously used in these verses, which means to cease from any movement or labor in order to recover one's strength, to cause the rest, to take rest, repose, refreshment, in other words, release. And that's all vital and valid in physicality. The compound Greek words are which means up, against, again, and pavo, which means to make desist. It denotes to rest up or to refresh oneself. This Greek verb is used 12 times in Matthew 11:28, Matthew 26:45, Mark 6:31, 14:41, Luke 12:19, and our gospel too. 1 Corinthians 16:18, 2 Corinthians 7:13, and Philemon 7:20, as well as 1 Peter 4:14. You can add to that Revelation 6:11, and there's a place for it. 14:13. It is also translated, give rest, take rest, take your ease, and have refreshed.
Amen.
The noun anapophysis is used 5 times. Matthew 11:29, 12:43, Luke 11:24, Revelation 4:8, Revelation 14:11. It's valid, but here's what we're not going to do. Amalgamation of physicality and spirituality incorrectly exude that there's rest for the body and soul, as some misconstrue 11:28. And in corroboration, we'll turn the other day. We'll take up this next week. Turn to Matthew 11. Because this is a song that we sing all the time. I'm not saying don't sing it, but I'm just know what you're singing. Everybody got it? As soon as you get it, you're going to say, oh, yeah, that's that song. You see it? Hmm? Do you see your song? Just about everybody know that song, right? All right, Elder, read it.
King James Version?
Yeah. King James and then the Greek and then we're down. We're over this morning, but hey, don't you leave here without this ammunition. I'm just out there waiting on you. Read.
11:28.
Mm-hmm.
King James Version.
Uh-huh.
Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling.
Whoa. Matthew. 11:28. No, we sang the song. We sang it misconstruing what Jesus said. Because we read one verse or two verses, or we took the song, and you notice in the song it does not even give the explanation of what rest Jesus is talking about. Read.
Matthew 11:28.
Mm-hmm.
Come unto me,
mm-hmm.
all ye that labor and are heavy laden,
mm-hmm.
and I will give you rest.
Mm-hmm.
Take my yoke upon you,
mm-hmm.
and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart,
mm-hmm.
and ye shall find rest unto your souls.
Finish it up.
For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light.
Okay, now, for us that sing that song, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon. You know the part it leaves out? No. Yeah. Well, no, he says, take the yoke upon you. That, learn me, yeah, that's a vital part, but what is the rest for? Huh? Is Jesus talking about a physical rest here?
No.
Is he talking about a physical release?
No.
Is he talking about healing here?
No.
It's spiritual. Your spiritual release will dominate whatever physically is ailing you.
That's right.
Oh,
that's
Lord.
Right. That's
thank
right.
God.
That's right. That's right. Amen. Amen. It's your will.
Whatever's wrong with you.
Whatever.
A good dose of the Word of God.
Ooh. Hallelujah.
A good dose of understanding.
Yes.
Just a placebo, but I'm speaking about data which takes you upon the essence of the element of the problem of the situation of whatever is going on the matrix, the essence of spiritual rest. Let you know that you are all in compass.
Yes.
We are more than conquerors. Paul wrapped that thing up, and I'm gonna quit. I know not to do 2 hours, but we'll be back here next week. But the essence of this thing is you're already released.
Yeah.
In separating actuality
right.
from manifestation.
Mm-hmm.
You already cured. I'm still having this problem in my body. That body's already destroyed. Oh, Pastor, don't talk like that. Yes, yes. Since this earthly house of this tabernacle may be having been destroyed. We have what?
A building.
A building of God. Not physical. Where is it? Eternal. That ain't helping me with this ailment. Just to my, oh my God. God help us. I know God had touched that man because He really wanted to get out of that wheelchair and walk. And you should have seen his countenance. I almost jumped out of my chair. Oh, God. He said, time is but a blink in it as compared to eternity. God help us to know that.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
In another place, I think it was in Rome, Paul speaks of the essence of fire persuaded that nothing can separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. That became the bottom line. That down in that last 20 some verse, I think he said he began to name a litany of things. And when he gave out, he said, none other in creation can separate me from the love of God. Amen. The essence of this life is God has caused it, and in it, he